This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, my dog is a psychic rather than a psycho. Is that what it is?
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Animals are amazing because they have got such a different perception of the world, and they can oftentimes see so much more than we can just because of the way they're built, the way they're functioning. I've got a python at home here, actually, and he's incredible because he's like a little superhero. He can switch his vision back and forth between infrared and, you know, regular vision. He can see the UV spectrum and the infrared spectrum and thermal and all sorts of stuff. He's just incredible, but he's had some really interesting encounters over the years as well, and it's been fascinating to watch him. So, yeah, there's some stories about him, too.
That's really interesting. Yeah, animals have different sort of sensory apparatus than people do. Well, not necessarily different, but often more highly refined. Like just a smell on a dog is almost like eyesight for people, if depending on which dog you have. It's so incredible what they can navigate by it and for miles.
Well, and what's interesting, especially with dogs, is the fact that their nose is their first sense. You know, they rely on their eyes later. And snakes are the same way. You know, the sight can be very secondary for him. So what they end up perceiving is, I mean, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in his head for a day. You know, it would be absolutely incredible.
Well, they actually, if I'm remembering correctly, snakes, they have an electrosensitivity type of a sensory perception that, I mean, yeah. I don't know exactly how that works or what that would feel like necessarily. But if they can experience something like that, maybe human beings might have something similar, but we're just so tuned out of it that we don't get it. And once in a while, it manifests itself in some of these ways. So who knows for sure? Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story about my little guy. His name's Galen, and he's got the most wonderful disposition, most wonderful personality. He's just really, really sweet, and he loves his family to pieces, and just a very dear little soul. And he knew my biological dad. He didn't know him for very long. I think he was about 2 years old. He's about 15 now. But he knew my biological dad for a short amount of time before he passed away. And he absolutely loved my dad. He thought he was just the coolest guy, and he was the first person he'd greet and whatever coming in the door. What was interesting was after my dad passed away, I noticed for a while that Galen would get his attention drawn to something in the house, and like, he couldn't break his focus from it. Like, he was just glued, and he's got a way. He's so funny. People think I'm crazy, but, cause he's a snake, but he has this way of greeting people that he knows. He knows his family, and he's got this very specific little greeting that he does. And I started to notice the fact that every once in a while, this would happen probably every 6-7 months or so, he would greet somebody that I couldn't see them. I didn't feel anything or see anything or anything like that. But he would greet them, and he would get very excited, and he would have this interaction with whoever it was for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And you could watch him. And I think I've got video of it somewhere. And all of a sudden it was like, he would follow them like either to a wall or out a window or whatever, and it was like they disappeared, and he would be left kind of looking around like, oh, they're gone today, like they just left, and then he'd move on and he'd go do whatever. But it was the coolest thing. And I don't know, my take on that is that I wonder if that's my biological dad visiting him, but maybe that's my bias, but it's cool.
Well, that's what we humans do. We tend to ascribe those kinds of mysterious animal behaviors to that sort of a thing. I have a similar thing with birds and my grandmother. So once in a while, when some strange bird does something different than I would normally expect, I sort of say to myself, there's my grandmother, you know, saying hello to me from the animal spirit kingdom kind of thing. But my rational mind goes, no, that's not what's going on. It has to be something else. There's got to be some other way. But I guess it's really just a human thing to be able to associate those kind of relationships with animals. We've been doing it for as far back as humans have evolved, it seems like.
Well, and I think, too, like, you know, the animals don't – the one thing I think we have to recognize is the fact that the animals don't have a societal bias. So they're not looking at it going – whatever they're seeing, they're not looking at it going – they don't have a story about it, right? And so I think animals can be a credible witness because, you know, if Galen, for example, is going and he's greeting something that I can't see. I mean, he does that one behavior when he sees somebody he knows, and that's it. And I think we have to start paying attention to how animals are responding because, I mean, he doesn't have a reason to go do that. He's not trying to make me feel better. You know, he's not trying to, he's got better things to do with his day. You know, he could be going and doing something else. And it's a very genuine experience for him. So I think we have to, you know, pay attention to what animals are receiving. I mean, in Japan, for example, they use snakes to predict earthquakes and things like that. And the snakes know about 48 hours before the earthquake hits, right?
I mean, so, with that electromagnetic sensitivity or electrostatic sensitivity that they have, that kind of makes a certain amount of sense because they, you know, they slide along the ground. And if that ground is becoming highly charged, which it's known to do, I mean, there's actually some science there. There could be a link to animal behavior. I think in California they use dogs too.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And there we have again, it's like, you know, if you saw an animal, you know, we saw a snake, for example, doing that, you'd be like, oh, you know, well, they're just crazier. You know, we're just, you know, thinking that something wrong is happening. Well, no, they're perceiving something that is absolutely genuine, you know, and it's like, just because we can't figure it out, you know, we'll figure it out too late. Don't worry, you know, but you got to pay attention to that stuff because they don't have a dog in the fight over it.
You see, we don't speak snake.
You know?
Well, that fell over like a lead balloon.
Well, you were cutting out there, Gene. You just said something.
I said we don't speak snake.
Right. We don't.
It's true.
That's true. We do. Well, we can sort of stick our tongues out a little bit, you know, and bob our heads around, I suppose.
Good.
Well, what about snake charmers? They do. You know, in India, those guys can get like right up to like cobras, like, you know, deadly cobras, too. And they have a way of working with them that's, I don't know, maybe they speak snake.
Well, I mean, all animals have behavior, right? Like they all have a way of being and they all have a set of behaviors, just like dogs and cats.
Yeah, that's true.
No?
Yeah, they do. And I guess we're kind of up here at the top of the list in terms of intelligence and being able to relate to other things. So we can relate to a lot of different kinds of other creatures in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're getting kind of way off topic here too at the same time. So can you tell us maybe a bit about sort of what the project you're working on now is, or something more recent, and, you know, what's up? Have you, is there such a thing as a paranormal ghost hunters conference or anything like that?
They are out there. Right now I'll be in Calgary at the end of the month on April the 28th at the Calgary Comic Expo, doing a show called Belief, Paranormal Research in Film and Television. And so that's going to be really fun. That's going to be at 1:45 at Stampede Park there. And that'll be really great. So it's really about what we were talking about earlier. I'm going to be talking about Sci Factor. I'm going to be talking about Ghostbusters and, you know, Christopher Chacon and Dan Aykroyd and all those people and talking about some of the ways that parapsychology has really influenced pop culture, even shows like Supernatural, for instance. There's a story that became very famous on that show about the Wendigo, and the Wendigo has very strong roots here in Alberta. So there's going to be a lot of crossover. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
You know, we're having a lot of fun here. Of course, I can't always see the shows from Canada. I haven't watched a lot of TV lately for many thousands of reasons. And I guess I've recovered from the TV habit, not having the ability to watch all the cable channels I used to watch. and all that sort of thing. We're having a great time here with Morgan Knudsen, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Gold is a better way. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. The book may not be for you, but the tens of thousands who've read it have been blown away to learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. We're so confident this book will change the way you think about investing, we've purchased 1,000 copies from the publisher and are giving them to serious investors. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, we'd like to send you your copy. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. You can buy it on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, or text bestseller and get it for free. Text bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Gold is a better way. Text bestseller to 49776.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I was thinking here, a couple of shows we did on the Paracast where we had so-called psychics. I say so-called because I don't know what they can do. And in these particular cases, they try to do a reading of me on the air. And, you know, I don't know if they knew much about me, I gave him this request without any warning. I didn't say, well, we're going to have thus and so give me a reading. Didn't say a thing. So they'd ask me questions trying to lead me on, and I was stone-faced, verbally. Didn't lead them anywhere. And I really confused them because I didn't give them the clues they needed to perform. I'd love to have a real psychic on this show. I don't think we've ever had anyone interested enough. I think they think we're too skeptical. Maybe that's it.
Well, maybe. I mean, I think a lot of the people that I've met that genuinely have this extremely intuitive ability, they're not out giving people readings. That's the other thing, is that the abilities, they seem to be able to they're very in tune with their environment. You know, they pick up on things like past events in a space. You know, they oftentimes will report seeing apparitions or seeing, you know, images that other people can't see. You know, and then you start leaning into things like remote viewing and stuff like that. But most of them really don't have the want or the need to be labeled with the name as, you know, psychic or medium or anything like that. You know, they've got their private connection with source or non-physical or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And they're happy with that. So I think as soon as you get into the whole, you know, I want to be known as a psychic, you know, you tend to get into a lot more of the fraud area or the, you know, the people that maybe even believe that they can do this stuff. And they're actually really just cold reading and don't know it.
But then there are some people who do take this quite seriously. Sounds like you do yourself. You don't sound like you're just trying to put on a show for people. It sounds like you have a genuine constructive interest in trying to understand what it's about. And you're not alone. Have you ever heard of the AWARE study?
Yes.
Okay. See, that impresses me right away, because I've asked that question to some people who should know and they don't. But so what do you make of that then? Because their study was, you know, really came up fairly negative.
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on how you kind of want to look at it. I think whenever we get into, you know, any sort of group study or anything like that, you know, you get people that are going to, we set a state of expectation, and then depending on the state of expectation, it can influence those experiments. So, and we see this actually, interestingly enough, with the double slit experiment, as well. And Dean Radin, he's amazing with it. And the IONS organization, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, they have done the double slit experiment over and over and over again. And every single time they've realized that their intention in going into the experiment actually ends up influencing the experiment itself, to the point where now Dean Radin won't actually be in the room when the experiment's going on, because he knows that he influences it to the point where he gets the same damn thing every time. So I don't know, like... Every time you get into the idea of psychics or psychic realms or anything like that, you've got, you know, pressures on people that are, you know, doing the experiments or are participating in the experiments that aren't there normally. It's psychic abilities are really hard to test. So unless you're doing something like the Ganzfeld, you know, which is such, it was very standard in testing psychic phenomenon and whatever, there's so many factors to this. It really becomes difficult to sort out and test. So I don't know. It's, you know, it's up in the air. I mean, we've seen both sides of this, where, you know, you get results that are extremely negative, and then you get the results that are extremely positive, and you can have, you know, two different groups led by two different people, and you get different results. So that's tough.
Well, the reason I mentioned the AWARE study, of course, is because it really tied in with your paranormal 911.
Yeah.
Because we're dealing with actual doctors in operating theaters. So with methods that are, would be pretty much indisputable if they were to turn out positive. And yet out of the hundreds and hundreds of studies that they did with this, and it doesn't look like there's a lot of what you're saying, like bias or expectations of people that are involved in that. I mean, we're talking simply about people being able to see a target, a screen, a message that's up above them in the operating theater. should they have an out-of-body experience? And, with out of all of those results, nobody had that experience where they could actually say that they floated up out of their body and could identify what this target image or message was. So, that's what
it's tough.
Yeah. And then the double split experiment or double slit experiment, excuse me there. I looked at that and some of the stuff Radin has had to say too. And the actual scientists, physicists who understand what the double slit experiment is about. And when you really look at how it's done and how it's measured, there is no possible way for anybody to make the kind of claims that consciousness affects the outcome. It's not possible, and therefore it can't be taking place.
I think with the aware experiment, though, I mean, you've got, we don't know what creates a near-death experience. So the problem that I have, at least with the aware experiment is the fact that we are lacking information when it comes to this, when it comes to things like near-death experiences. I think, in order to be able to consistently test something like that, you have to be able to understand exactly what it is. And we're still back on debating whether or not consciousness exists after death. So it's like, so that becomes a whole factor. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's where it gets really tough in terms of trying to figure out exactly what it is we're even talking about in some situations. Because if we're talking about consciousness as our experience of living, which seems to be probably the most rational, reasonable explanation of what it is on a subjective level, then what we have is people having experiences that they think took place during a time when technically their biology shouldn't be able to facilitate it. And yet they report these experiences back to us later as if that's what was taking place at the time. And I think we have to be really careful with that, because what we're getting when that happens is this story after the fact. In other words, they had an experience in an operating room or during an accident where they floated up out of their body and experienced a bunch of things, and then came back later when their brains were perfectly functioning to tell us about it. And in no case ever has anybody been able to relay something like that in real time to someone.
Two more segments to spend with Morgan. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
It's better and much more effective than the previous wall.
President Trump inspected a portion of the new wall on Friday. He toured a 2-mile section near Calexico, California. A plaque proudly decrees that this is the first section of President Trump's border wall. During a discussion with border officials, he was told border agents can't handle the recent flood of migrants coming through Mexico from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. In El Paso, Texas, some congresswomen visited a border detention facility. California Congresswoman Lauren Underwood.
It's heartbreaking. I have never experienced anything like we saw today on U.S. soil. And I will take back to Washington a commitment to ensuring that we do everything in our power so this never happens again.
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
I always bring up red herrings and stuff, so I'll do it again. We had an article posted by a guy named Miguel, who goes by the name Red Pill Junkie, in our newsletter, the Paracast newsletter, where he gave very specific, detailed reasons why he concludes that near-death experiences and UFO abductions are related. I opened it up. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, yeah. So just before the break there, we were saying that when it comes to out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, which are essentially out-of-body experiences that happen when someone is supposedly incapable biologically of producing any kind of experience, that they happen. But then it's always recalled after the fact when their brain is perfectly functioning. And similarly, Gene, we have alien abduction experiences where people seem to recall them later through hypnosis. And after the fact, we don't have any witnesses who were there at the time saying, I saw that person being abducted, at least no credible stories where we can say, I was there, I witnessed this person being taken aboard a craft. It always is told after the fact.
Yeah, and I mean, and with near-death experiences, kind of have the same issue where we're looking again at people's, you know, experiences and encounters and things like that. But, you know, when we're trying to figure out what they're able to relay, you have to start to ask the question, okay, well, what is relaying the information? Right. So that's where I start to have trouble with, you know, experiments that come back as, oh, you know, that doesn't exist, it's negative or whatever. Well, hold on. What do you think is doing the relaying of the information, though? Because we don't have a way of understanding or measuring that. And I'm not saying yay or nay one way or the other. But, you know, I think people tend in these cases, especially with parapsychology, to want to rule out something that they really don't have an understanding of to begin with, because they've got a preconceived story about how it's supposed to work. And it's like, well, we don't know what part of the consciousness, for example, is leaving the body, if that's what's happening. And if we don't know if what's happening there and we don't know what is supposed to be relaying the information or how it's interpreting that information, then it becomes really difficult to create an experiment around it.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. That the assumption is that someone's consciousness is leaving their body. But that assumption may be completely wrong. So we can't assume that that's what's taking place. We can assume that, say, a person who's had the experience isn't lying, for example, that they're being honest with us and telling us about an experience that to them seemed perfectly real. But to jump to the conclusion that it means that their actual consciousness or state of mind at the time that experiences the world was able to leave and float outside of their body during a certain period of time, we can't assume that because we don't have any evidence of that.
But yeah, and on the opposite side of it, too, is that we can't assume it didn't happen. And if that's the case, if that is what's happening, then we get into a whole other ballpark of how does that consciousness then operate outside the body? How is it perceiving things when it's not being translated through the brain itself? So we don't know how that consciousness is reading its world, right? So there's a whole bunch of factors that go into it that I don't think people really, you know, they assume that the mind is just going to work exactly the same once it's outside the body, but we don't know that either. So there's a lot of factors.
We can't even assume that it does because we have really no actual evidence of that. But what we do have are these experiences that lead people to sort of believe that that could be the case because of the nature of the experiences. Like, for example, in the story you were telling us about the 911, where the patient's husband was seen by other people.
Yeah.
Well, the natural conclusion there, then, if that person is in fact deceased, is that, well, they lived on after they died in some way, shape, or form that allowed them to manifest themselves before the responders. And yet that may not be the case at all. We may have something else entirely that is portraying itself. It may be real. It may be physically real, like we are, or in another sense, and not be the person's actual husband, but just presenting themselves to the responders in that form in order for them to do whatever it is they wanted the responders to do. They make the phone call, the responders get there, they direct them to that room, and they take the form of that husband in order to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many factors in it. And I think, and even the one thing that's been suggested over the years too, is that, you know, we're kind of bleeding into some sort of parallel universe or something like that, right? Where that guy's still alive. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different outtakes on it. I mean, like my gut feeling on it and my personal opinion on it is I think it was her husband. But you know, as I say, I can't throw evidence at that or anything that my opinion is I think that happened. But, there's so many different takes on it. Can we, you know, point at it and scientifically say, yeah, that's what it is? No, we can't. We're not at that point yet.
No, but I think we are at the point where now we can start to look at, say, a hierarchy of reasonableness in terms of suggesting what is more likely to be the case than other ideas. Right.
Yes.
So we could say we could, in other words, we could go back. We could maybe take the a biblical approach, an old Southern biblical approach, that these are spirits of the dead, and or maybe they're demons incarnating themselves or inserting themselves into our world. Or we could take another approach and say, well, what does that really mean? How do we define life after death? Is it a continuity of personhood? What does it mean to be a person? And start to break those things down in a really organized, critical thinking way to say that, well, this particular idea seems to make a whole lot more sense than this other idea, and therefore it's probably more likely to be true.
Yeah, and I think I think we ignore our intuition a lot more than we should in a lot of these cases. And I think sometimes you just kind of know. And when you experience some of this stuff, you know when something's happened. And I think people in many instances, I mean, and I know there's bias and I know there's all these other things, but, you know, I think you kind of get a gut sense about certain situations. And, I mean, I wasn't there for this one or anything like that, but, I think our intuition tells us a lot. And, I mean, having experienced, you know, a number of encounters and whatever myself, you kind of get a beat on it. And, I think that's something we can't ignore either.
Well, that's true. I think we need to recognize both and say, okay, if we get a feeling, well, all right, now let's examine it from that critical thinking perspective. Otherwise, it leaves us open to making assumptions that just simply could be false. And I've had one of those kind of experiences. For example, well, my brother was killed in a car crash. I inherited most of his stuff, including his computer. And I was trying to sort out his estate. And so one of the places I was looking was on his computer for something, you know, the files I needed to do the job and so on as the executor. And I was missing him, of course, very much. I was very, very close to him. And all of a sudden, there was this thing that popped up on the screen that was a message actually written by him. And I got all the hair stood up on my neck. I got that feeling that he was in the room. All of that stuff that I've had before when I've experienced other far weirder stuff. And I thought, wow, you know, he's actually trying to talk to me, but I was kind of inexperienced at computers in those days. And it actually turned out to be part of the Outlook program that was set to do that. And so all of my reactions and senses and intuition that said, this is him trying to communicate with me were wrong. And I had to accept that, you know? So that's why, we really have to, it's okay to have it, but we have to recognize, we have to buffer, I think, that intuition with reason.
Absolutely. We've got a reason to split right now for a few seconds or a few minutes, depending on whether you're hearing this in the Paracast Plus version. Final segment with Morgan, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now, please. Don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264, 800-213-9264, 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right, where's the time gone? It must be in another dimension. Randall?
Yeah, I think we could certainly... We're still only scratching the surface, aren't we, Morgan, here, of some of the really good stuff. It's a fascinating subject because although I try to be skeptical, like I say, yeah, that doesn't mean that people aren't experiencing these things and there's some truly weird stuff going on. And I'm getting the sense from you that you are doing your very best to do the same thing, to look at it from a critical thinking perspective, to apply science where it can be applied, and to try to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And trying to make that information palatable to the public as well. And that's a big goal for me with whether I'm doing shows or, you know, the live shows or anything like that. Is just to make it accessible to people is so important, and give them a place to go for information that's empowering and positive. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's the best thing. So,
and I really get that from you. I mean, you just come across as being a very positive person who's just looking into this stuff with a great deal of passion. And that's really fabulous. Actually, before the show, we were communicating a bit and you were telling me about some of the stuff that you do. And one of the things is a fire presentation. What exactly is that?
Yeah. So I work with the fire arts, and it's really, really a great way to teach people about paradigm shifting and getting them a visual representation of how the story we've been told about something isn't always grounded in complete reality. And I work a lot with fire and a lot with things like fire eating and all sorts of stuff like that. And so it's a great visual way to teach people about the stories we tell ourselves about certain things and keep it very science-based, but it brings that art form into it. And that's really important for me. So usually my adopted dad, he'll compose the music for it, and I'll do a show and whatnot for it. It's a great visual way of people being able to get their head around the fact that what we see in our experience isn't always, and what we're told, what we tell ourselves isn't always true.
I think I would actually pay to go see that. So,
I'm
but
glad.
will you be doing any of that in at the end of April here in Calgary? Will you be bringing that with you, or?
I'm not sure yet. I mean, hey, if they've got a fire permit, it's coming. But I don't know if we're going to be doing it in Calgary, but there's definitely, we bring it to the as many shows as we can that where the venues allow it. So yeah, it's a great way to teach people, and it's absolutely fascinating to watch.
So what is your sort of ultimate goal in pursuing all of this? I mean, is it can't be just to experience it, and it can't be just necessarily to figure out sort of what the nuts and bolts of it is. We all want to experience it, and we'd like to know what it really is, but or maybe those are the things for you. What is your real motivation? What drives you to do this still after all this time?
There's a couple of things. I think I love being able to get in a group of people and be able to teach. I love teaching. I love being able to watch people make that emotional shift in their head, whether it be a paradigm shift or, you know, make sense of what has happened to them and further that aspect of it. I've got a really huge passion for being able to do that. I do a classes here in Edmonton, both what I call walk-in classrooms and something called the Fireside Ghost Experience. And both of those is all about just getting people in a group and getting that energy up and watching them come to these incredible conclusions. And so being able to teach and sort of allow that to, you know, seep into the world for me is a blast. Yeah, that just doesn't get old for me. It's really cool to watch people's evolution.
That sounds absolutely fabulous. Do you make a living doing this, or do you have kind of a regular day job, if you don't mind me asking?
I make a living doing this with investigations and things like that. I don't do a lot of that anymore. I really have leaned into the teaching side of it, but investigations and whatnot have always been free. You know, all the workshops and that kind of thing have always kind of funded that aspect of it. So, but you know, I've got my book and whatever, and get to do these classes, places and whatnot. And we try to keep the like ticket costs and things like that as low as we can, because like, I really believe that this information should be accessible to everybody. You know, it shouldn't be a matter of, you know, what's in your bank account. So we're trying to keep that at a really, really easy level for people to come and participate.
Now, I can't relate this, of course, to American dollars, but if someone wanted to come to your sessions, what would it cost?
It depends on, of course, depends on the show. Like, I mean, in the case of the end of April, I mean, like Calgary Expo, of course, just sets the prices and whatever. But my walk-in classrooms is $20 a ticket. Fireside Ghost Experience, because we use a limo bus and all of that kind of thing, it's $80 for the evening, and it's a three-hour class. So we try to range it within a reasonable rate. $20 will get you into our walk-in classroom.
If you go to Disneyland, you spend a week's salary with your family.
Kidding.
You know, we haven't really mentioned this. Do you have family who follows your work?
Yeah, it's really cool. My mom is supportive. My production family is is really such a core of what I do. I've got some amazing people that help me out with sound and cameras and filming and whatever, and they're really a core. And my adopted dad in BC, he's one of the most amazing people in my life, and I just love him to pieces. And he's just ridiculously supportive of everything I'm doing. So I've got a really great core of supporters and people that just, you know, they love what I do, and they firmly believe in it, which is so important. So it's really great.
Well, somebody definitely needs to do this stuff, and it's been it's a real pleasant surprise to find that someone like yourself is doing it up here in Alberta, where I live, and that I can actually maybe come down in April, at the end of April here, and check it out. So
that'd be great.
You see, that's so different from a lot of the guests we have here, where I can see them. They might be coming to the Phoenix area. But in this particular case, Randall doesn't have to venture down into the colonies to see what's going on.
Yeah, I'll have no excuse this time. I'll have to make sure I go. Definitely.
Well, you get 3 demerits if you don't go to the attendant. Hey, I want to ask you very quickly, before we go, Morgan, we have a supplementary show after the Paracast where we can get on with further discussions for 30 or 40 minutes. Would you like to maybe schedule something like that for tomorrow afternoon? Do you have time?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So, folks, she committed herself to being also on after the Paracast. We'll have a lot more discussions about her paranormal investigations. Fascinating. For those who want to get in touch with you, Morgan, please tell our listeners. where to find you.
Yeah, best place to find me is entityseeker.ca, and I'm on Facebook and whatnot as well under Morgan Knutson and Entity Seeker. So you can find me pretty easily, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram and all of that as well. So I'm pretty accessible.
You have a few seconds. Pitch your book.
Sure. So the book is Teaching the Living from Heartbreak to Happiness in a Haunted Home. And if you've got questions about things that have happened in your family legacies with this stuff, how the emotional side of this relates to what you're experiencing and how to take back your life, this is the book for you. And it's on Amazon.com and .ca and EntitySeeker.ca as well. So you can grab it there.
I just changed my name to Cyclops Steinberg with only one eye working here. Seriously, you can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast fan clubs, both of them. On Facebook. And look for the version of the show that helps you really support us called the Paracast Plus. Paracast Plus offers the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen, and Morgan's going to return to do a little bit of further discussion on this weekend's episode. And we do that every so often where a guest has the additional time or we just haven't finished talking about it. But the only way to hear After the Paracast is to sign up with the Paracast Plus. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We also offer a version of this show free of the network ads. One segment goes into another with a 1 second space, so you get time to breathe before the next segment begins. For more information, plus.theparacast.com is where you go. Prices start at just $1.49 a week. Give up that coffee and try it out. Morgan Knutson, thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast.
That was a blast.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNlife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNlife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.